and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host. Welcome to the new year. It's January 4th of the new year. I hope you had lots of time for family and friends and good times over the holiday and time off from work. Oh, how I hope that you were with me long ago on December 21st, because I'd feel terrible if I had heard that you missed Candidates for Causes. Robert Egger is the president of See Forward, working to rally candidates around nonprofit platforms. He and I talked about how to assess those in your local races, getting the nonprofit agenda before them, and how to support the candidates who step up. Also, it was Computers Crash. Scott Kegler, the editor of Nonprofit Technology News and our tech contributor, reminded us that technology can let us down. Imagine that. Your computer hardware will only last so long, and you should have a plan for replacing it to avoid a crisis. I talked to this former chief information officer about the hardware life cycle, budgeting, and planning. This week, the future of planned giving marketing. Greg Warner, the founder of MarketSmart, shares his insights on multi-channel awareness building, generating and cultivating leads, and tracking what works. And free radio and TV to boost online ticket sales. Amy Spencer, market manager for Blackbaud, and Kevin Russell, professional services manager for Blackbaud, want you to recognize that you do have leverage with the media and that sending press releases is no longer the way to get radio and TV exposure for your event. This was pre-recorded at the BBCon 2012 conference last October. Between the guests on Tony's Take Two, my blog is Challenge the Status Quo. I urge you, don't be afraid to ask why, and we'll talk about that. And after the BBCon interview toward the end of the show, I'll talk a bit about the just-revived IRA charitable rollover that's getting a lot of talk in planned giving circles. Right now, it's my very pleasure to welcome Greg Warner. He is an experienced multi-channel marketing executive. He's made tens of thousands of cold calls and closed thousands of deals, which give him a unique perspective into how to partner sales strategies with targeted marketing initiatives. His company, MarketSmart, has helped lots of nonprofits, including the American Diabetes Association, Life Matters Home Healthcare, the Association of the U.S. Army, and City of Hope Cancer Research Center. On Twitter, he's at Greg MarketSmart. He runs the LinkedIn group Smart Planned Giving Marketers. Greg Warner, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tony. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was a good one. It's going to be a good one.
All right. We got the future of planned giving marketing to look forward to. This is something to live for. You want to see nonprofits do broader prospecting around planned giving. What are your ideas around finding new prospects?
Well, the first concept is that non-donors and people that you may not find on your radar through predictive analytics or data modeling often will leave you gifts. And some of our clients tell us it's more than 50% of their planned gifts. Not all, but that's a sizable number, and you don't want to leave that on the table. So you need to broaden your approach.
Okay. And let's talk about some of the ways to get doing that.
Okay, well, it all depends on how much money you have, of course, and most folks don't have a lot of money. So you want to look at the tools and channels that are available to you in order to broaden your reach. Now, one of them, and I know a lot of people probably cringe at the sound of the word Facebook, but you know, it's a very simple thing when you think about the fact that people who engage with your organization on Facebook, they like you.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't cringe on this show. We don't cringe around Facebook. I mean, we have Amy Sample Ward, social media contributor. She's on every month talking about lots of social media networks, but Facebook certainly among them. So we don't cringe when you talk about Facebook.
Well, I should say in planned giving circles, sometimes they cringe at that because it's hard for folks in planned giving to understand how to connect the dots.
Okay, well, let's connect them for them. Why should planned giving professionals be paying attention to Facebook? Beyond the fact that a billion people are on Facebook, but
right.
Their concern typically is age, right? Planned giving, you want to talk to people in their 60s, 70s, 80s. The concern is that they're not on Facebook, but where's the disconnect?
Okay, so first you need to dispel the myths. So my mother-in-law, and by the way, I got into all this because my wife's a diabetic, and I wanted to find a way to generate lots of money for the American Diabetes Association.
Okay.
My mother-in-law, of course, her mom, is 72 years old. I don't think there's too many people who are on Facebook more than my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And this is, again, she's 72 years old. Now, what
well, God,
is she?
God bless your mother-in-law,
yeah.
Of course. Well, I love all mothers-in-law.
Yeah.
But even the ones that aren't my own, I love them all. But that's, you know, people are going to say, well, that's an anecdote. Okay, there's one 72-year-old. What do we know in aggregate about 60, 70, 80-year-olds' prevalence on Facebook?
Well, I don't have statistics on that, so I don't know if I want to start shooting off on that. But I will say that they have more. I think it's easy to say that they probably have more time on their hands.
Right. Well, what's been the experience with your clients around Facebook and planned giving?
Well, here's just a basic example: is that if those folks are there, and let's remember that younger donors, 40s and 50s, are really when people are making their first will anyway. And if you want to get in their will, you should be planting the seeds of legacy gifts, because everyone at some point is going to contemplate their immortality.
Yeah.
And what Russell James calls symbolic immortality. So how can they live on after their lifetime?
Okay.
And if you start planting seeds just with basic awareness efforts, meaning if you get a gift, why not talk about it on Facebook?
Okay.
Now, how you say it, you have to talk to your social media folks. Make sure that you're not overselling or overstating, but it's news. It's information. It's something that'll plant seeds in people's minds.
Okay. Excellent. There's an idea. What else should we be doing on Facebook around planned giving?
Well, if you have a comprehensive marketing plan and you have a lot of people who like your page, then it's really important to realize that you can advertise on Facebook. So you can advertise to your likes, the people who like you.
Yes.
With little ads driving them to a landing page. The best offer is something like an offer for free estate planning information or how to make a will.
Okay, so this is buying Facebook ads.
Mm-hmm.
Buying a Facebook ad related to planned giving.
Yeah, and you only pay for every time someone clicks on it. Or you can pay for impressions, but it's very inexpensive, really.
Okay, what does that mean? Now, I haven't had anybody in drug and jail for weeks and weeks, but you're skating very close. and since it's been so long, I have a very itchy trigger finger to throw somebody in there. So what does that mean, Facebook, you can pay by the impression?
Every time that your ad appears is considered an impression to a user.
Versus paying by the click.
Right.
Okay. All right. We have just about 2 minutes before a break. Do you like to see, Greg, nonprofits have a devoted planned giving Facebook page, or you're talking about the organization's overall presence on their Facebook page?
Without a doubt, I think it just should be something that's implemented, integrated into their overall presence, and just it's news. It's just sharing information with their friends.
Okay, so not necessarily a devoted planned giving Facebook page for for the charity. Okay.
I don't think anyone will go to that.
Okay. What's, again, just about a minute before a break, what's another channel that you like to see exploited in planned giving that people aren't using enough?
Well, I think email has the most power when it comes to planned giving marketing. And we'll have to dig into that a little bit more when we come back. But it's so inexpensive, but it can also be used the wrong way. It's a hammer. Like, you could break stuff with it, or you could build stuff with it.
Okay, we want to build, right?
Yep.
Okay. As Greg suggested, we will talk more about email and other channels and the future of planned giving marketing. Right now, I got to send some live listener love. Oakland, California, Atlanta, Georgia, Shanghai, China, Taipei, Taiwan. Welcome, live listener love, to those four cities. When we come back, more with Greg Warner in the future of planned giving marketing.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
Hey, all you crazy listeners.
Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back to Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. More live listener love, Seoul, Korea, Fukuoka, Japan. You're with us regularly, Seoul and Fukuoka. Thank you very much. New Bern, North Carolina, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Live listener love all around the world. It's incredible. All right, Greg, what are charities not doing with email? Or why? What do you see them using it as a hammer? How are we misusing it?
Well, a lot of times, especially for planned giving marketing, email is used to sort of shout out at their prospective donors that, you know, for instance, here's a whole bunch of information about ways that you can make a planned gift. Here's tax avoidance strategies, you know. Shouting in the for-profit world, the private sector, just like in the nonprofit world, it's never a good idea to just blast and spray messages, but rather to generate leads and find people who want to hear from you and then cultivate those leads with highly relevant messages over a long period of time.
Okay, let's break this down a little bit. How do we get started in being more sophisticated with our email?
Okay, well, again, first is starting with a good list. And that's what we'll call a opt-in list. And that begins with offering something in your awareness campaigns or your acquisition campaigns, usually planned giving or I would say estate planning information,
mm-hmm.
to get people to request that offer. You always need a good offer.
Is that the...
And when they do, they go into the cultivation pool.
Is that the opt-in, the acceptance of the offer? Is that what you mean by opt-in? Well, you're treading close again on jargon jail.
Yes, but you'd want to let them know that you'll be sending them more information when you send them the first piece of information.
Oh.
And
okay, so after you send them what they've asked for, or at the same time you send them what they've asked for, you're telling them that they'll be getting more and you give them a chance to opt out of getting more?
Exactly.
Okay, all right. You better watch yourself in jargon jail. You're a little risk taker.
I want to be in jargon. No, I'm kidding. I don't.
I don't know.
I'm getting
the first
close,
person who
though.
Said
you
that.
Can smack me around later.
All right, well, don't tease me. Let's see. All right, we have a good list. We have an opted-in list. What's next in being more sophisticated with email?
Okay, if you've done your opt-in right, and let me take one quick step backwards, is that you'll ask people what are their interests. What, are they looking for ways to get income for life? that would kind of put them into the pool of possibly wanting messages that refer to charitable gift annuities.
Okay, now how do you ask these questions? In a poll by email, or how are you eliciting this information?
Generally, before you give them the information that they want, like if it's estate planning information,
yeah,
you'll want to ask them what topics are interesting to them.
Okay, and how do you ask that? In an email with a poll or a link to a poll? How do you do that?
Okay, good.
Let's get to the details.
It's generally
here.
Part of a landing page.
Okay.
So where they request information, that's on a page that they land to request that information. Then the questions pop up. Okay, do you want this information? Do you want this brochure or that one? What topics are you interested in? You can even ask, at what stage are you in the consideration process? Have you ever considered leaving a gift in your will? The number of questions that you could ask, you should be keep it short, but you should try new ones.
Okay, so you're trying to get people to identify themselves as having interest in planned giving topics, and specifically which ones?
Right.
Which topics?
And most important, why not throw in the question, have you already left a gift?
Yes. Okay. Right. Critical.
Critical.
Because you'll find a lot of people will reveal
that. The next step is sending relevant information over time.
Yes.
If they've already left a gift, well, first, of course, you're going to want to thank them, hopefully personally. But at the very least, you're going to want to put them on a stewardship track.
Yeah, you want to welcome them to your recognition society for planned giving or however it is you do it to say thank you over the long term.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that was a little digression, but an important one, very important.
You don't want to lose that gift. Remember, you could always lose a gift just as much as you get one.
if you're not saying thank you enough and properly, and for sure, as after the person reveals that they've included you, yes, absolutely. So let's go back now. You've qualified your list, and it's not only opt in, but you know the topics that people are interested in. Each person's interested in. How do you continue to become more sophisticated with your email?
Okay, now I'm going to try my best to stay out of jargon jail.
Well, you said you wanted to be there. Well, you're a flip flopper.
Somebody
listen to him flip flopping. He's a flip flopper.
Landing page.
Okay.
A cookie can be placed on their computer. Okay.
Yes.
Not only are they opting in for your messages, but if they didn't fill out the form because they just decided not to, because of that cookie, they could get ongoing banner ads for quite a while, as long as you decide, throughout wherever they navigate on the internet.
Really?
And that's called retargeting. So if they got interrupted, if they just decided not to fill it out, then you could have these ads driving them back to that page or a different page, maybe just sending them to more symbolic immortality messages or videos or something different that's about legacy giving.
Interesting. Now, I know this goes on because after I fill out or I go to a site somewhere, then, you know, from time to time, I'll see banner ads or pop-up ads and a completely different sites related to the topic that I was exploring a week earlier.
That's
so
right.
I know this nefarious stuff goes on.
It's a highly effective kind of marketing. It works. And again, you can pay for it per click or by impressions in the thousands.
Okay. And tell me, what is this marketing called again?
That called retargeting.
Retargeting. Okay. Because you're retargeting the person's advertising? Is that why it's called that?
Yeah. They already got halfway to making a decision to commit to something with you, but they didn't go over the edge. So you want to this is most famous for shopping cart marketing, like if you were on Amazon.com, but you didn't buy that book.
Yes.
They'll send you ads for similar books.
Right. They know. Amazon, of course, very sophisticated. Okay. But no reason charities shouldn't be equally sophisticated, of course. Okay. Is there more? What else can we say about email? This is very interesting.
Okay. So once you get them to opt in and fill out their information so that you know what they're interested in, then, and you've got that cookie, then you can start tracking them. Not only should they go on tracks that we call marketing automation tracks to get emails that are relevant to their interests, But you need to track where they click every time you send those emails. And again, because of this sophisticated tracking that I'm talking about, and these cookies and IP address capturing, IP address, by the way, is just the address of where their computer is located.
Thank you. Okay.
By using those tracking tools, you can begin to capture who's coming back, specifically which individual person, their name, is coming back and visiting other pages that you're pushing them to with your ongoing marketing emails.
Okay.
As they come back and as they engage more, the more they engage, they can then get lead scores. So if they stay online for a certain period of time, if they click on a certain number of pages, if they keep coming back 3-4 times, you can determine what kind of scores you want to give each individual person and program it. Then, based on where they go, how often they come back, all those different things, you can program different messages. You can slow down the number of messages that go out or increase the number of messages that go out to each individual. And again, they should be relevant based on their interests. And this should break apart sort of into a flow chart, so that if they change their mind from the CGA track for charitable gift annuities, then perhaps they move to the bequest track because of where they've been clicking. Then they get different messages.
I see. Let me remind listeners, Greg Warner is the founder of MarketSmart, which you'll find at imarketsmart.com, I, the letter I. So this email sophistication that you're talking about can all be automated, you mentioned.
Yeah, the idea is to try and plan it all out as best as you can in the beginning.
Okay. Right. Okay. So you're laying out these different tracks, but then you're also tweaking as you get results back from all this tracking, right?
Exactly. It all takes time, and no, everybody's campaign is different. You have to look at all that, all the tracking and all the data you're collecting, review it, and then tweak the messages.
But all this tracking is valuable because you're seeing people not going to certain pages, or you're seeing an abundance of people clicking on different options. So you can see the way people are moving through your whole system.
Exactly. And I want to throw in the traditional marketing combined with this is very important. Because email is powerful, and you can do all this, but you can also signal to then send certain types of letters and brochures or whatever to these folks based on their interests.
Okay.
And that gives it an even bigger hit because, again, as you mentioned, a lot of these folks are older, and this is what I call an enterprise decision in the private sector. This is not donating $5 or $25. This is creating a legacy for yourself, and it's usually a sizable gift.
Okay. Okay. So we're not cultivating these people for small annual gifts or something like that.
No. Right. And the idea is that for enterprise decisions, people usually want some kind of printed material. They want personalization. They want a hand-signed letter. You know, I always I look at selling planned gifts similar to selling cars. I mean, generally the gift size is about what a car costs. And it's a long cultivation process.
And some people buy Mini Coopers and some people buy Bentleys, right?
Right.
So, but there's plenty of room in planned giving space for all the people on that entire spectrum. We have just a couple minutes, and I want to get into your some of your artist work also and how that relates to this. But you mentioned that email could be a hammer. What's one way that, aside from too frequent, that's an easy one. We know too frequent emails can be bad. What's another way that email could be abused and turn off your prospects?
Well, if you're shouting irrelevant information at them, and often this can relate to tax avoidance strategies. There is a certain segment of the population and plan-giving donor base that is very motivated by that. And I don't want to offend all the folks who are my potential clients, but in plan giving, there's too much of a focus on taxes, or I should say death and taxes.
Yeah, that's really not what motivates people.
No.
It's love of the institution. So, but with the targeted information that you have, the specific information that you have, prospect by prospect, you can avoid sending tax avoidance information to someone who only wants to talk about a charitable bequest, and the reason that they're interested in plan giving is that they love your institution.
Exactly.
Okay. I want to go into a little different direction. You're very much an artist, oil painter, musician, singer, and songwriter. What's the relationship between the arts and marketing and sales?
Wow. Boy, I didn't realize you did that kind of research on me. Thank you.
Well, you put it in your bio. There's no research at all.
I might have to think about that a little bit.
Off the top of your head, what's the relationship?
I was voted class artist when I was a kid in high school.
Oh, that's not... Wait, so... That's not your credential. That's not why it's in your bio, is it? Because in high school you were voted class artist?
No, it's just something...
You're living on laurels, if that's the case. I mean, it's been a while.
There are right-brained people and there are left-brained people.
All right.
And I think in business, in marketing, in anything you do, you've got to be creative and open your mind to new ideas at any moment. You really have to just kind of keep trying new things and be experimental. And whether you're painting or writing a song or singing a song, it's all... about experiments and changing things up to get that harmony to be better, to get that color to be better, to get something to move people in an emotional way.
Outstanding, and that's what we just finished talking about in planned giving marketing. What is it you love about this work, Greg?
Wow, it's interesting. I was talking to our account coordinator today. We were working on a new campaign for the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society, which we're just so excited about. And at the end of it, we spent an hour and a half in front of a huge whiteboard we have in our office, and we go through everything. And then I looked at her at the end and I said, "You know what's so great about this is that at the end of this, we're going to raise so much money for sailors, Marines, and their families." Isn't that awesome? And I just got this warm feeling inside, and I'm like, isn't this great? I mean, I get paid to do this, and it's just I'm gushing because it's so fantastic.
Outstanding. Greg Warner is the founder of Market Smart, which you'll find at imarketsmart.com. On Twitter, he's at Greg Market Smart, and you can find him in the LinkedIn group Smart Planned Giving Marketers. Lots of smart going on. Greg Warner, thank you very much for being a guest. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks, Tony.
My pleasure. Right now, we're going to take a break. What do you know about that? And when we come back, what the heck? We'll do Tony's Take Two. Of course, it's Tony's Take Two. And then we have free radio and TV to boost online ticket sales. So stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I'm Dana.
And I'm Don.
We are certified mediators. And I am a family and couples licensed therapist and author of Please Don't Buy Me Ice Cream.
Our show, New Beginnings, is about helping you and your family recover financially and emotionally and start the beginning of your life.
We'll answer your questions on divorce, family court, co-parenting, personal development, new relationships, blending families, and more.
Dana and I will bring you to a place of empowerment and belief that even though marriages may end, families are forever.
Join us every Monday starting September 10th at 10 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I'm Kate Pala, Executive Director of Dance New Amsterdam, and you're listening to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%.
Welcome back. Time for Tony's Take Two at roughly 32 minutes into the hour. My blog this week is Challenge the Status Quo. From questioning the way you track prospect visits in your office to revamping a newsletter concept, maybe, or adding a theme to an annual dinner or lunch that seems to be kind of in a doldrum year after year. My urging is that you start to question, how come we do it this way? Why do we do it this way? And not just accept tradition, which as a Boy Scout leader told me when I was in my teens, is often a mistake made more than once. That was his definition of tradition. So I'm just urging you, don't be afraid to challenge. Why do we do things this way? Especially if you're the one who's in the trenches doing the work day after day, year after year, you have an outstanding perspective on which things aren't working and how they might work better. And my suggestion is that you start asking questions. The ones who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. And in my blog post, there's an Apple video, which is a commercial around that exact thought. And the blog is called Challenge the Status Quo. You'll find it at tonymartinetti.com. And that is Tony's Take Two for Friday, January 4th, the first show of the year. I want to send some more live listener love. Kitakyushu, Japan. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. We had a dispute in the studio here. I went with Kitakyushu, Japan. I hope that's correct. Live listener love. Here's one I know I can get. Laurel, Maryland. I hope I pronounced that right. Laurel, Maryland. Live listener love. And New York, New York. Where are you? Where in New York, New York? I wish you... tweet us. Use the hashtag Nonprofit Radio and tell us where in New York, New York you are. We're on West 72nd Street right now. And I have now a pre-recorded panel discussion, two people from the BBCon 2012 conference, and they're talking about how to use TV and radio for free to increase your online ticket sales. Amy Spencer and Kevin Russell. And here is that interview.
Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of BBCon 2012. We're outside Washington, D.C. at the Gaylord Convention Center. With me now are Amy Spencer and Kevin Russell. Amy is market manager for arts and cultural at Blackbaud, and Kevin Russell is professional service, is, that's a plural, professional services manager at Blackbaud. He delivers multiple services professionally. Amy, Kevin, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thanks for taking time on a very busy day.
No problem.
Your seminar topic is pretty curious. Make your online ticket sales soar with television and radio for free. Amy, why don't you just acquaint us generally with what the possibilities are?
Oh, sure. Well, I think the thing that people need to understand is that I have 12 years in background in TV. So I was the general sales manager of the TV station. So what I did was I actually set the pricing and I'd look at the avails and I sold the inventory and things like that. And what people most often thought that they could come into the building and say, well, I know by law you have to give me free advertising, and you don't. There, by NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, we do not have to sell to any certain group, which covers nonprofits. So I think one of the things that people need to understand is that they don't owe you anything. However, a lot of times they would come in very entitled at times and say, here's what I need you to do, and here's my PSA, and I want it on the air, and I'd prefer it in the news, and if not, Prime's okay. Well, that would get them nowhere. So the thing that I would always say is first and foremost, you have to figure out what to leverage on the nonprofit side that you can take to the TV stations. And there are a lot of different ways to do it, and I sort of have a few tips and tricks, but one of the things is to figure out who in the TV station you can get to know. And one of them is your general manager, and one of them is your general sales manager. And you have to explain to them that you have brand equity that they can leverage and also make money from.
Oh, so not unlike fundraising, this is we're actually going to build some relationships.
In theory, yes.
Okay.
So for those organizations who picked up the phone and called me, set an appointment, it was amazing how many of those actually got on the air.
And that was maybe before they even needed something from you or wanted something from you?
Correct.
Oh, this is relationship
building.
It is
101.
Okay.
So a couple things is they need to figure out, I think there are three different ways nonprofits can get on TV and or radio for free. One, they need to look at their board. They need to figure out who is on the board and what companies those board members own and or are highly influential within.
Okay, we'll have time to go into detail. Why don't you tick them off, the other two now, and then we'll come back and talk about each in a little more detail.
Sure. Three ways you can either have the board jump in and pay for that TV time, okay, not on your dime. The other one is to have the TV underwrite you, and I'll get more into the detail later.
Yep.
And then the other one is to work jointly with each other and bring in a sponsor on your own.
Okay. Kevin, you want to say a little more about the first one, looking to your board, working with your board?
Sure. So, as you mentioned, this is relationship building, and we all know people who know people. In the local market, it is likely that one of your board members does have a relationship with the television station, maybe an economic relationship, maybe they know someone who's there. And if they're already engaged in advertising buys, this is more Amy's forte than mine, then you could piggyback on that relationship. And they might make a buy in the station, and you might leverage that and say, well, we're going to make this $5,000 buy, but the nonprofit is going to get advertising on top of that. So maybe not a condition, but if I do this, then please help this organization.
Now, does everything we're talking about today include radio also? Either one.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
And if I could jump off of what Kevin was saying, for example, if somebody on the board had a huge car dealership that the TV station was already gaining $30,000, $40,000 a month from, well, guess what? I need to make that board member exceptionally happy. So when that board member calls me and says, oh, by the way, I'm involved with this children's charity, what I want you to do is help underwrite that in the tune of $5,000, you better believe most times, more often than not, that TV and or radio station will figure out a way how to make that happen.
Okay.
Therefore, the nonprofit gets all the advertising for free.
Now, you had also mentioned having the board pay for buys. Look at me. I feel like
you got it.
Buys. I got the language down. I'm certified.
Yeah. So the other thing, what you can do is you can have them leverage it in with their media buy. For example, go back to the car dealer. I own a car dealership. I'm coming in. I'm spending $30,000. Well, if I go ahead and guarantee you that I'm going to do that for, let's say, 5 months, and I get a high percent of that share, then I will also say, well, and in return for just handing you $150,000, you're going to hand my nonprofit of choice an additional $5,000 on top of that at no charge.
Okay. Yes.
So you can leverage who you have on your board and what they own and or have influence around.
Sure. And this is not unlike what we might do if we're doing our research for grant making. We're leveraging the board's relationship, right?
Exactly.
That's right.
We're looking at the board members who are on the foundations that we've identified that are funding the type of work we're trying to fund, and we share a list of board members of those foundations with our own board.
Exactly.
We're just leveraging. Okay. Amy, you had said something earlier about what the charity brings to the outlet.
Sure.
beyond a relationship with a board member,
sure,
in trying to create this relationship that we want to have on our own charity to media outlet.
Sure.
Why don't you say a little more about what we should be presenting to the outlets?
So, for example, there's a tremendous amount of brand equity within each nonprofit, and you better believe that TV and or radio station wants to partner with those nonprofits. For example, a stage company. They want access to their patrons. They want access to that brand equity they have in the market, and they also want access to those sponsoring that organization. So in a way that you can leverage, or for example, let's keep going with that stage company, for example. So they can leverage that stage company's organization and work together on promotions. They also want to get their news anchors out in the market. So what they can do is they can say, okay, well, we'll come in with a partnership with you, but our anchors are also going to open up every show. They're going to welcome the audience. See, they're looking for different ways to get out in the market as well and own that market. And so if you give them the ability to leverage their brand equity, they're on top of it.
Okay. And Kevin, it sounds like this applies in all size media markets.
It certainly would.
And maybe even more easily in smaller markets where the community is more tight.
Essentially. And we have, Amy and I work primarily with cultural organizations. So they have these physical places. They've got spaces, their community centers where people congregate. So when the talent goes out, there might be the opening of a brand new show, and it's a big event in the small community. So the on-air talent is a part of that community, and they want to show their face and be there. So it does scale pretty well. The larger markets, you'll have larger organizations.
Yeah. Okay. But and another point, I guess certainly related, is we're not going to the outlets humbly, right? I mean, we're going confidently. As Amy said, we have equity that we can leverage for your benefit, right? I mean, we're not asking hat in hand.
No, and that's the one thing that I found, that if and when they did, some organizations actually pick up the phone, explain to me what their mission is, what they want to accomplish, it was almost it was not in the way probably it should have been.
Almost apologetic?
It is. I know you don't have time. And you know what?
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
We don't approach donors that way.
Correct.
I'm sorry to have to ask you. it probably doesn't merit your time. But could you talk to me? You know, we don't.
Could you run my spot at 3 o'clock in the morning, please?
Yeah, right. I'd be grateful for that. Right. We don't talk to funders that way. Mm-hmm. We should be confident that we've got the equity, as you described, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. TV underwriting. Kevin, can you say something about that?
Actually, Amy could probably speak better than that than I can. That's her background, not mine.
Okay, go ahead.
I think you're referencing probably the third point, which is sort of a joint relationship between the nonprofit and if you don't have somebody on the board and or organization that can help underwrite from the nonprofit stand, then what you can do is that if somebody came into my office as a general sales manager and said, hey, listen, I don't have $5,000 and I don't have this. However, what I want to do is I have this kind of equity to give you, and let's use that together and go and find that sponsor and or donor together. So it is going to be the nonprofit, it's going to be the TV station, and then they go out. The TV station now has the ability to engage their anchors in the nonprofit, mm-hmm. and you better believe that those TV and or radio stations want to look like a hero and want to have their involvement in that. So you've provided that. And then the TV station also has a brand new advertiser. Right? So if you go out and work together to come up with this, it is no money out of the nonprofit's budget whatsoever. It's out of the sponsors, and now you've created a three-prong relationship that typically will go for years. And sort of a side note, for what we did at the TV station, they almost got a 4-to-1 return on investment. You hand me $5,000, I'm going to give you back close to 20.
Why don't you just tell us what TV station you're referring to? Keep it a mystery. Come on.
It's in the Charleston, South Carolina market. Let's just put it
okay,
at that.
Okay, fine. Charleston, South Carolina. All right.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So I interrupted you. Anything
That's
more
fine.
You want to say about this sort of working together, a little joint, a little joint venture?
Well, all I will say is that every single day we all sort of do the same. We're trying to come up with revenue. We're trying to meet our budgets, whether you're a nonprofit or a for-profit. And if somebody walked in my door and said, hey, you know what I want to do? I want to help you make money and work with you in order to get new advertisers and sponsors, I'm going to listen to you. And then, because I control the inventory, I'm also going to then play with you in terms of getting you additional avails, additional spots and things, and some news coverage.
Okay. So now I fear my notes from the top were are insufficient. I blended two things together. So there's one more point. Kevin, were there three things that that Amy outlined in the beginning and only two that we've talked about?
Well, there are three that Amy outlined on the getting these basically ads for free, but
right.
Part of it's also what are we going to do with it, right? Being
okay.
Very strategic with how you use it. It's the other part of our session, which is what are we going to do with this time? In the cultural world, we're suggesting that people should use this time that we get through Amy's strategies to really promote ticket sales over other items and primarily promote those online.
Okay. Why do you select ticket sales over anything else that a charity might convey?
So radio and television, we believe, are really the ultimate one-to-many channel. When you're on the internet, you can develop a relationship. You know, people sort of know who you are. You're signing into things. Direct mail, if you're already in a not-for-profit's database, they know who you are. But when we're on TV or radio, it's essentially an acquisition strategy or branding strategy. So these organizations, these local culture organizations, they may use these buys for branding. If they're not going to do that, they're in acquisition mode, and we want to direct them to buy tickets for our orgs. The ticket really is that entry into the organization. We wouldn't expect someone to hear an ad and go make a donation to a museum necessarily. They don't have a relationship. They haven't experienced that museum. Mm-hmm. But buying that first ticket, getting through the door, is what starts that process with those sorts of organizations. So driving to that ticket leverages the free items in acquisition, which generally has sort of the most trouble getting people through the door.
Okay. Maybe this is also the lowest cost entry point for acquiring new new donors, new supporters.
Absolutely. That single ticket, it might not be the ultimate lowest cost. Often our organizations have memberships that over time would
sure.
represent a better value,
okay.
but in the moment it tends to be the lower cost. And
okay.
some of these places are free, and they're just trying to encourage attendance. So it could be a free entrance. We just need to know you're out there,
okay.
know you want to come.
Amy, you're doing a lot of nodding. Did you want to add to something?
No, I'm for once agreeing everything what Kevin is saying.
Okay. Well, you want to share something you don't
know? No, it's all good.
Okay. Very furtive, you Workley. Charlotte area. Kevin says everything right except the things I don't want to tell him about. We have a few more minutes left. What have I not asked you about regarding your your topic that that you want to share with arts and culture organizations. Go ahead, Kevin.
So I don't know that it's something you haven't asked about, but we just want to let people know that there are ways to get your message out there, and we want our organizations to really think about what they want their customers to do. We get focused on fundraising, we get focused on membership. We often forget that we need to recharge our donor base, our member base, with new people. If we can do that for free and take advantage of, you know, this fantastic technology that everybody's engaged in, we want people not to be afraid to go do it. When they go to do it the right way, use AIME strategies.
All right. And it sounds like that's sort of what motivates you around all this work. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, I could explicitly ask, you know, what do you love about the work that you're doing?
So I get to work with museums, cultural organizations, people who have fantastic art or, you know, help children learn every single day. And my job is to bring software into these organizations so that they can use it to increase all of that. So bringing in that first ticket buyer, that first-time ticket buyer, is the end result of everything that I do.
I love that. And leveraging technology as well.
It's fantastic.
To help the Children's Touch Museum.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. Amy, how about you? Share what you love about this work.
Well, believe it or not, everything that Kevin said, but what I want to message is there is an opportunity there, and I think automatically the nonprofits think, I don't have the budget, I can't afford TV, I can't afford a radio. Now, if you're in the top 5-10 market, that may be the case. This is probably a mid-market to lower market strategy.
Okay.
However, there is opportunity there, and I have seen it, and I've worked for 12-plus years with nonprofits when I was at the TV station to help them do this. And I think I would just say, be bold, pick up the phone, get a relationship, explain your mission, and work together, and you will absolutely reap the rewards on this, and it's there to happen.
The session at BBCon is Make Your Online Ticket Sales Soar with Television and Radio for Free. I think they've shared some outstanding ways of doing that. Really very simple, common sense, but things that people are not
doing.
Certainly not doing, and because they're not aware. Okay. Amy Spencer and Kevin Russell, thank you very much for being guests.
Thank you.
It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks.
This is Tony Martinetti, nonprofit radio coverage of BBCon 2012. Thanks very much for being with me.
And my thanks also to the people at Blackboard who helped me be there and do podcasting at their BBCon conference. More live listener love. It's unbelievable. Mexico, Sorocaba, Brazil, Beijing, China, Riverhead, New York, right at the fork where the North and South Fork split. Riverhead, New York, Hyattsville, Maryland, La Jolla, California. Live listener love to all those cities. I want to spend a couple minutes talking about the IRA charitable rollover. This was just revived in the American Taxpayer Relief Act of 2012, which was passed by Congress on January 1st of 2013. I love how they can play magic with the dates. I actually read the act, and on the title page it says Legislative Day, December 31st, 2012. So they just make up, you know, they were there on January 1st, but it was really December 31st. I love how they can just do that. I wish I could time shift like that. This charitable rollover is really not a rollover. This is the last time I'm going to call it a rollover, right? Then, that was the last time. It's actually a qualified charitable distribution. That other word is a misnomer, so I'm not using that anymore, and we shouldn't be using it, but it's popular, it's the vernacular. And what it takes for your donors to do it is they have to be at least 70 and a half years old on the day they make their gift. The IRA has to be a traditional or a Roth. They have a $100,000 per year maximum per person, not per IRA that they might own, but per person. And the distribution, this qualified charitable distribution, has to go directly from their IRA to your charity. And I'm going to say a lot more about this on my blog next week, which means that there'll be more about it on Tony's Take Two next week. And included in the blog post next week is going to be a one-pager that you can adapt for your own marketing and promotion of this, of the qualified charitable distribution. See, I'm avoiding saying that word. And so you'll be able to download that and use that as well. So more about that next week, but just to remind you, let you know that specific distribution was revived this week. All right, the rollover was revived. Next week, I'll have another BBCon interview, leveraging your social media data to find advocates, team leaders, and hidden VIPs. With Casey Golden, he's the CEO of Small Act, and Mark Davis, who works at Blackboard. Also, coming back with me will be our social media scientist, Amy Sample Ward. I'm asking you again, please, pretty please, could you rate and review the show in iTunes? I know you don't have to go back there, 9,000 podcast listeners. I know you don't have to ever again if you don't want to. But I'm asking you, please. I'm almost pleading. I am pleading, actually. I would say I'm pleading. Would you make the special trip? Would you give me a 1 through 5 star rating and maybe write a short review? But if you don't want to write the review, just give us a rating so we can reflect the fact that there's over 9,000 people listening. Thank you very much for doing that. Wishing you good luck, the way performers do around the world. We have left Poland. We were in Poland for weeks. Now we're in Serbia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Montenegro, and Athos. Because in Serbian, the language of those countries, break a leg is slome nogu. So for the week, I'm wishing you slome nogu. Break a leg in Serbian. Our creative producer, she's embarrassed by it, but it's still Claire Meyerhoff. Sam Leibowitz is our line producer, and the show's social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media. The remote producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is John Federico of The New Rules, and I very much hope that you will be with me next Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern, on Talking Alternative Broadcasting at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I'm Dana.
And I'm Don.
We are certified mediators, and I am a family and couples licensed therapist and author of Please Don't Buy Me Ice Cream.
Our show, New Beginnings, is about helping you and your family recover financially and emotionally and start the beginning of your life.
We'll answer your questions on divorce, family court, co-parenting, personal development, new relationships, blending families, and more.
Dana and I will bring you to a place of empowerment and belief that even though marriages may end, families are forever.
Join us every Monday starting September 10th at 10 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern, on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
TalkingAlternative.com.